I believe we're living in the last days. Do you believe that? Last events will be rapid ones, Ellen White has said in the Spirit of Prophecy. And they are coming upon us very, very quickly. And, you know, I'm going to ask you a question. Why are you here? Not why are you in this church, but why are you alive at this time in Earth's history? Have you ever thought about it? Why weren't you born 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, the time of Noah, time of Abraham? Have you ever thought about it? You had no say in who your parents were. I had no say in them. Before I answer that question, I just want to also, we'll have a look at that, answering that question in the Bible in a minute, but about life. I don't believe anybody has a right to life. Life is not a right. Life is a gift from God, and what we have are choices. And we can either choose to serve God through His Word, or we can live our lives the way we want to live our lives, but in the end we will pay a price, either eternal life or eternal death. And we're in a great controversy right now, and that controversy is going to end very soon. So, why are you here? Why are we all here? There's a story in the book of Esther. If you know this story, God raised up a girl. I'm not going to, if you want to look up this verse, you can look up in, it's in chapter 4, verse 14. If you know this story, and I'm not going to the whole story, I'm just going to summarize it. God raised up Esther for a time in Earth's history where a decree, a death decree, had gone out from the king of Babylon. At a certain day, all the Jewish, all the Jews in the kingdom, or God's people in the kingdom, were to be destroyed. Now, there will be a similar death decree which will go out in these last days after probation closes. Now, her uncle, Mordecai, I said to her, now she was betrothed to the king, and he said that just because you live in the palace, don't think that you will escape this decree. And you have a choice, like we all have choices. You can either do what God wants you to do, or you can live your own life, ignore it, but in the end you will pay the price. Your family will be taken out of the book of life and you will be destroyed. And it's for such a time as this that you are been brought into the kingdom. In Babylon. So that's what I believe, for such a time as this. This is why we're here, for such a time as this. These are the last days. We had no choice who our parents were, and we have a choice. We can either serve God or we can do our own thing, for such a time as this. So this is the time we're living in. Now, the topic of this sermon is called love. Now, this word love, God is love. But what does love mean? And what is love based on? Now, there was a story, back in 1967, there was a song written by John Lennon. I don't know if you, some of you may have heard of this song called All You Need Is Love. Love is all you need. I'm going to read some of the verses from this song. It says, there is nothing you can do that can't be done. There's nothing you can sing that can't be sung. There's nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. Now, we hear this word love bandied around, but what is God's love and what's it based on? This song that was written by John Lennon, his love is based on what? Self. So, but what is God's love based on? That's what we need to look at. Now, I don't know whether you know this. There are four types of love mentioned in the Bible. And I'm just going to go quickly through them. Eros is the sense of being in love, or the love of a husband and wife. And there are a couple of verses there. I'm not going to look up these verses because We've got a lot to go through. You can look these up later. And if you want a copy of the script, I can give it to you after the sermon and you can check out what I'm saying is correct, okay? Philae, or philae, love, is love between friends, friendship. Storge is affection, love of family. Honour your mother and father, which is the fifth commandment. And agape love is unconditional love or sacrificial love. This is the type of love that God has for us. And you know this verse, you know, John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him, will what? Shall not perish, have eternal life. So they're the four types of love that we're talking about, which are in the Bible. But this love of God has to be based on something, right? Now, memory verse today was the law and the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So what is the law? What is the law? Ten Commandments? Okay, you all know what the Ten Commandments are, but do you know them in order? You do you? Okay, that's good. What's the first commandment? Have no other gods before you. The second one is make no idols, right? I'm going to summarize these. The third is what? Don't use God's name in vain. And the fourth, you know what the fourth commandment is, don't you? The Sabbath. The fifth is honor your mother and father. The sixth is don't kill. The seventh is do not commit adultery. The eighth is do not rob or steal. And the ninth is do not bear false witness or lie. And the tenth is do not covet. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his car, his house, or whatever. They are the Ten Commandments. They're actually based on God's character. We talked about this. Peter talked about it this morning in the Sabbath school lesson. So the testimony. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? Found in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. What is it? Spirit of prophecy. Now, the law and the testimony actually describe God's character. So love is based on the law and the testimony. Okay? Okay, before we go on to that one, I just want to share with you, if you want to look up Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 to verse 40. Okay? Now, if you know, I'm just going, you can look at this as I'm telling the story here. A young lawyer comes to Jesus and says to him, Master, what is the greatest commandment, the greatest law? And Jesus answered and said, to love God with all your heart and soul and mind. This is the first and greatest law or commandment. And the second is likened unto it, which is love your neighbour as yourself. Now, we leave it there sometimes, don't we? We leave it there. But when Jesus went on and said in verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what's he talking about here? The law and the testimony. So love is based on what? The law and the testimony, which we looked at, Isaiah chapter 20 and 8 verse 20. And there are some other verses I'll put here. There are a number of verses in the Bible, but I'm not going to go into every verse, but here are some of them. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, Jesus says, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Then John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And then this was in our Sabbath school lesson this morning, but we didn't get to this verse, Peter. You can have a look at this one. It's 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. And I also want to have a look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. Just looked it up quickly. And it says, what does it say? He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is what? A liar, and the truth is not in him. 5. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. Okay? So anybody who says they know Christ or loves Christ and doesn't keep his commandments, what are they, according to the Bible? They're a liar. And who's the father of lies? Satan. Right. So, and Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. In the Sabbath school lesson, Peter was talking about faith. Whose faith? If some people put in this, have the faith in Jesus. If we have faith in Jesus, whose faith is it? It's our faith. But we have the faith of Jesus. Whose faith is it? It's Christ's faith. So there's a difference. Okay. These are the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the Ten Commandments again in the Sabbath school lesson. Now, I have a ministry where I travel to many countries in the world, and one of the countries I go to is the Philippines, and I've been there the last 8 years. My ministry is to save as many people's lives who have type 1 diabetes in developing countries. Some of you know this, some of you may not. God showed me in a dream about 20 years ago that this program would go to the world. And what we do in our program is that people donate insulin, type 1 insulin, for type 1 diabetics, and then we give it away free to people in developing countries who do not have access to insulin or can't afford to buy it. We save their lives. Okay? That's basically what we do. Now, in the Philippines, we have a very number of cities that we're working in that country. And one of the cities is Domaguete. I don't know if anybody knows the Philippines, from the Philippines. Do you know Domaguete? It's in the southern, one of the southern islands on Negros Islands. And we have a big diabetes program working there. And this is from the Ten Commandments from the Catholic Church in Domaguete. And I saw this, and I walked past, and it's right out the front of the church, and I thought, I've got to get a photograph of this. I can use this in a sermon, okay? So if you read these commandments, they're very interesting. What does it say? The first one, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods beside me. Okay? The second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Okay? Remember to keep holy the Lord's day, not the Sabbath. Okay? Number four, honour your father and mother. Number five, thou shalt not kill. Six, you shall not commit adultery. Seven, you shall not steal. Eight, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. And then the ninth is you shall not covet your neighbour's wife. 10, you shall not covet your neighbour's goods. So what's happened here with these Ten Commandments? One's missing, isn't it? The second one is not, do not worship idols. Because when you go into a Catholic church, what do you see? And who are they worshipping? Yes. And what they've done is taken the Tenth Commandment and divided it into two. That's very important because, remember, this story is about God's love. And what is God's love built on? The law and the testimony. Okay? Let's keep going. Okay, love is love. Now, this week, there's been some significant things happening. The 31st of October, what happened? The Pope met the Lutheran Church leaders in Lund, in Sweden, and signed a declaration to say the Reformation that happened 500 years ago with Martin Luther is no longer relevant. I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a lot of it in the press. Right? But if you watch SBS, there was a news item about it, and after they'd announced that Reformation is no longer relevant or existing, the next thing we're going to do is have a new world order or a new world government. Did you pick that up? Okay. Now, the other thing is, on the 7th of November next week, is what? There's a survey being done in Australia, $120 million it cost, about gay marriage. Okay? Gay marriage, love is love. What type of love are they talking about here? Is this based on the love of God, the law and the testimony? It's based on human love. And human love is usually based on self, narcissistic type people, put it that way, and ego, which is a human type of love. And somebody said to me, what do you think about the yes vote or the no vote? And I always say, well, what does the Bible say? And if you go to the Bible, and it was in our Sabbath school lesson, I think 2 weeks ago or last week, if you go to Romans chapter 1 and verses 20 to 30 and read what it says there, it's very plain what God thinks about same-sex marriage, okay? What does the Bible say? And that's what we need to look at, what God's word is, not what I think or how I feel, okay? Okay, this is taken from the Great Controversy. Now, if you come back here at 2 o'clock, we're going to look at the Great Controversy. Now, I know that Karen and Crystal, they came to Stall a couple of months ago, and we looked at the Great Controversy. Now, this wasn't my ministry. I didn't want to get involved in this, but I got one of the other church members from one of the other churches in Western Victoria rang me up and said, Neil, we want you to lead out on this program. And I had only arrived back from the Philippines that day. And he said, I need you to lead out on this program. And I said, why me? And he said, I've prayed about it, you have to do it. And I said, hang on a minute. I said, I need to pray about this. I said, I've got my own ministry. I don't want to, you know, is it God's will? I said, I'll give you an answer within a week. And he said, no, you have to tell me within 3 days. I said, why do I have to tell you in 3 days? And he said, because we've done doing all the printing and it's going to be done in 3 days and we need to have your approval. And I said, listen, I don't know about this. God hasn't said anything to me. I need to pray about it. And I need to pray and I'll get some of my prayer friends like John and one of our other prayer people in our church to pray about it. I said, I'll pray about it, I'll ask God, if it's His will, then I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Okay? So that night I went to bed and got no sleep. I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that I was to do this program. So everything you're seeing here is not from me. Usually when I'm asked to do a sermon, I agonize over it. It takes me weeks and I have to pray about what I'm going to talk about. What do the people want to hear? But this was different. As I was laying in bed trying to get to sleep, the Holy Spirit was convicting me. This is what I want you to tell that group in Stall. So I took it all down, wrote it all down. I saw John the next day. We prayed about it, and I felt it was God's will for this to happen. So I rang up the other guy and said, yes, okay, we'll do it. I believe it's God's will. So love. Now, this is taken from the Great Controversy. Now, we're living in the last days. The Great Controversy was written how many years ago? 132 years ago, I think the first edition came out. Written by Ellen White. The last 10 chapters of this book has to do with our time. Now, Ellen White's been dead for 100 years. She died in 1915, wasn't it? So, for such a time as this, why are you living? Why are you here? For such a time as this. This book has been given to us. It's part of the spirit of prophecy. Now, people say, well, the spirit of prophecy and the word of God are different. They're not. They go together. You can't separate them. So, at 2 o'clock, we're going to go through one of these chapters, not every chapter. And if you come back here at 2 o'clock, it'll take about an hour, and we'll give you a copy of The Great Controversy. And I tell you what, if your church does it, you do it at a prayer meeting, what God is going to do, He's going to bring people into this church from around your community, okay? Because for years you have been letterboxing around here and witnessing in this city, and you may see no return. But I tell you, God's people are out there. They're waiting, and God is preparing His church to bring them in. So this is what's been given to me. I'm only the messenger. I'm only passing it on. What you do with the message is your business, okay? So this is taken from the Great Controversy, and this is about love. As I said, it says, love is dwelt upon as the chief attribute of God, but is degraded to a weak sentimentalism making little distinction between good and evil. God's justice, his denunciation of sin, the requirements of the holy law, are all kept out of sight. The people are taught to regard the Decalogue as a dead letter, using bewitching fables, captivating the senses, and leading men to reject the Bible as the foundation of their faith. Christ is verily denied as before, but Satan has so blinded the eyes of people that the deception is not discerned. So what's happened with love? Love has been twisted. God's love has been twisted by Satan. So when people say, oh yeah, all you need is love, what love are you talking about? If it's God's love, it has to be based on the law and the testimony. Okay? So, yeah, we love each other and all this type of thing. But if it's not based on God's love, it's not God's love at all. Okay? Okay, let's have a look at truth. What is truth? What is truth? Okay, there are a number of verses about truth. Okay, John 14:6 says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. Who's this speaking? It's Christ. Christ is truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Then we have a look. There's a number of verses in Psalms 119. The law, the commandments is truth. I love the commandments above gold and silver, yea. The testimonies are righteous and very faithful. The righteousness of the testimonies is everlasting. All thy commandments are truth. Okay, so there are three things based what truth means. Truth is what? Jesus. The word of God is truth. The law is truth. The testimonies are truth. They are all wrapped up in God's character. So what is truth? What is love? God's love is truth, isn't it? It's based on his character. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. And we talked about belief this morning in Sabbath school, Peter. What is belief? And Karen is only, it's not just about believing, is it? It has to do with what? It had faith, truth, obedience, love. That's what belief is. Because if we go, so somebody says, oh, all I do is, yeah, all I have to do is believe. The devils believe, don't they? But they don't trust, they don't have love, they don't obey God. So it's a whole package. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. What is the truth? Christ is the truth. The word of God is the truth. The law and the testimony are truth. And the truth shall make you free. So what are we free from? We are free from the power of darkness, power of sin. Yes, we are all sinners, as Peter said in Sabbath school. How do we get out of that? We repent and God will set us free. Okay? Through angels' messages. Okay, this is interesting. Now, before, if you know the scripture in, and this was also mentioned in Sabbath school, is Daniel chapter 8 and verse 14. And what was that about? That's right, 2,300 day prophecy or year prophecy, which ended when? 1844. Up until 1844, all the Protestant churches were God's church. Did you know that? After 1844, the Protestant churches that were in the Reformation from Luther's time rejected the first and the second angel's messages. Now, do you know what the first angel's message is? Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who created the heavens and the earth and in the seas, right? That's the first angel's message. What does that have to do with? It has to do with his law, and particularly it has to do with the Sabbath, right? So what did the Protestant churches reject? They rejected the Sabbath. That's why the Seventh-day Adventist Church was raised up by God in the last days, because the Protestant churches had rejected the first and the second angel's message. What is the second angel's message? Babylon has fallen. That great harlot has fallen. And what happens is, if you reject the first angel's message, you become part of Babylon. It's automatically, because you don't believe it, you see. And so the first angel's message is built on God's character, which again refers back to love, because God's love has to do with the law and the testimony. The third angel's message, which is one of the most frightening messages of our time, because it says, if you receive the mark of the beast in your hand or your forehead, God is going to pour out his wrath unmixed, and he's going to destroy those people. And so the Adventist church was raised up to do two things: take the gospel to the world, which is in Matthew, at the end of Matthew, and the three angels' messages. That is the purpose of the Seventh-day Adventist church. Okay? That is the commission that we are living, and the time that we're living in. Okay, back to the great controversy. It says, Jesus promised his disciples the comfort of the Holy Ghost, whom the Father would send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's John chapter 14, 26. Now, this is very important. I'll put this in red. But the teachings of Christ must previously have been stored in the mind in order that the Spirit of God to bring them to our remembrance in the time of peril. So, if we want to know what's going to happen and in the last days, and if we don't study the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy, the Holy Spirit can't bring those to our mind. Now, everything we study here, we're not going to remember. Okay, we'll forget them. But in the time of peril, Christ says the Spirit of God will bring them to our memory. What did David say? Thy word have I hid in my heart, said David, I might not sin against God. So it's important that we know the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy. Yes, you'll forget it. You'll read it. You'll forget it. But when the time of peril comes, and it is coming, the Holy Spirit will bring it to our minds, okay? This is another quote from the Great Controversy. Thus the message of the third angel will be proclaimed, which is happening now. As the time comes for it to be given with greatest power, the Lord will work through humble instruments, leading the minds of those who consecrate themselves to his service. The laborers will be qualified rather by the unction of his Spirit than by the training of literary institutions. Men of faith and women of faith and prayer will be constrained to go forth with holy zeal, declaring the words which God gives them. The sins of Babylon will be laid open. This is very important. So how is the work going to be finished? Who's it going to be finished by? Lay people. God is going to raise them up. And that's what's happening now. Now, one of the things that is happening now in our church, and this is taken from Bible Commentaries, Volume 7, says, as we near the end of time, falsehood will be so mingled with truth that only those who have the guidance of the Holy Spirit will be able to distinguish truth from error. We need to make every effort to keep the Word of God. We must in no case turn from his guidance to put our trust in man. It does matter who it is in the church. The Lord's angels are appointed to keep strict watch over those who put their faith in the Lord. And these angels are to be our special help in every time of need. Every day we are to come to the Lord with full assurance of faith and to look to him for wisdom. Those who are guided by the word of God, of the Lord, will discern with certainty between falsehood and truth, between sin and righteousness. What does Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4 say? Jesus is talking to the disciples. The first thing he says to them is, says what? Let no man deceive you. So what's happening in our world now is deception is everywhere. And we need to be aware of deception. And it's only through our relationship with God. And I'm going to show you something now. Okay. our Sabbath school lesson from last quarter. Good lesson? Okay. Do you know there were 14 quotes from people from the Protestant, apostate Protestant churches in this lesson? Okay. Now I've listed them there and what faith they are from. Okay. F.F. Bruce was an Open Brethren. C.E.B. Canfield was a Methodist. Frank K. Materia was a Catholic priest. All these people were quoted in our Sabbath school lesson. Now, the argument is, and the other thing is, I've put their birth dates and their death dates if some of them are still alive, right? They're all born after 1844. And you say, what's the significance of this? These people do not keep the commandments of God. There's only one Adventist there, quote, Rondell. He passed away in 2011. But it's interesting. I put this in there because, these people, they don't keep the commandments of God and they do not have the spirit of prophecy. Now, why are we quoting this stuff in our Sabbath school lesson? Okay. Now, hang on, I'll just give you the arguments. The thing about it is you'll say, well, not everything that they say is wrong. That's true. There is some truth in it. Truth mixed with error is what? Error. So you must be careful. And the other thing is, God has his people in other churches, which is true, isn't it? But what is God doing with those people? Revelation chapter 18:4 says what? Come out of her, my people. Now, I know these guys have got some truth, but the thing about it, we need to be careful that who we are mixing with, because truth mixed with error is error, and they don't keep the commandments of God, do not have the spirit of prophecy. Why go to the apostate Protestant church to get our spiritual experience when God has given us what? His word, the spirit of prophecy. Do we need to go and get this experience? Okay, I've just put that in there to make you aware of what's happening. It's not out there. Satan isn't out there. He's also working within the church. And you need to be able to discern. And even in this book here, today, last week, I've got the teacher's book. What's his name? Leon Morris is mentioned in these writings. Okay? So just be aware of what's happening. You know, and if you see something that's not right there, question it. And the guy that wrote this lesson Carl Corsett, is an associate professor of the New Testament and Early Christianity. He teaches at Wall Wall University, College Place, Washington. So that's an Adventist college, right? And the guy who's the editor and is most of the Sabbath school lessons is Clifford R. Goldstein. Just be aware. I'm not saying that everything is bad, but this is what's happening. Subtly, these things are coming into the church, and you need to be aware. Okay? Okay. Now, this verse is again from the Great Controversy. It says, only those who have been diligent students of the Scriptures and have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captive. It's a very important verse. Only those who are diligent students, those who study the word of God and the spirit of prophecy, and who have received the love of the truth. What is truth? Jesus, the law and the testimony, the word of God, will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captive. So they are shielded. They cannot protect themselves. It's only the truth that's going to protect them. Okay? The love of God is going to protect them. All right? So what is the delusion that's going to take the world captive? Satan is going to personate Christ. And it's going to be very powerful, and it's going to be hard to disseminate from it. You know, because once people see this, and you see this, that Satan is personating Christ, where his feet will touch the ground, where Christ won't. The only thing that's going to shield you from it is the truth. That's why we need to know the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy. Okay, this is another verse. It says, little do sinners against God realize that they are indebted for their own lives to the faithful few whom they delight to ridicule and oppress. Again, from the Great Controversy. Little do sinners against God realize they are indebted for their own lives to the faithful few whom they delight to ridicule and oppress. So if you're being oppressed or ridiculed or being made fun of or mocked because of your religion, those people's lives are actually depend on your religion, your faith or your relationship with God. Isn't that incredible? Isn't God incredible? So we have nothing to fear. God is with us. Okay, through the two great errors, again from the Great Controversy. Through the two great errors, the immortality of the soul, which is the state of the dead, and Sunday sacredness, which is going to be the Sunday law, Satan will bring the people under his deceptions. While the former lays the foundation of spiritualism, the latter creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. The Protestants of the US, the United States, will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to clasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power, and under the influence of the threefold union, this country, America, will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience. That is happening right now. Okay? The threefold, the apostate Protestantism, which has now been, according to the papacy, has been done away, Catholicism and spiritualism. And spiritualism has to do with immortality of the soul, the state of the dead. Now, if you go to Genesis chapter 2, I think it's verse 11, it says, what God created man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Okay? He didn't become a body and soul. A living soul is one. This is incredibly important. You understand this. And because the greatest lie that it was ever told is found in Genesis chapter 3, where Satan said, what? You shall not surely die. So what's being served up in our time, immortality of the soul, is that, yes, you die. You go into the ground, but your spirit goes back to heaven, to God. Now, the interesting thing is, man never has ever come from heaven. He was created from the earth, not from heaven. So there is no difference between the body and the soul. This is why it's a deception. And then when people see their parents or their mother or father who died 10 years ago appearing to them in a vision, they say, oh, you know, I'm in heaven or whatever. Immortality of the soul. It's a deception. And it's very powerful, and we must be careful. That's what spiritualism is. And of course, Sunday sacredness has to do with the second, with the Sunday law. All this is based on God's love, the law and the testimony, truth. And, we must have a clear concept of what God is and what His love is. Any love that's not based on the law and the truth, which is His character, is, a deception, is a man-made love. And people will use this, oh, don't you love your family? Don't you love this? Yes, people do. You know, during the Second World War, the Nazis killed millions and millions of people. They went home after work and they loved their dog, they loved their family, they loved their pets. Is that God's love? No, it's not based on the law and the testimony. It's very important you understand, and we understand, because if we don't, we will be deceived. And it's easy to be deceived. Okay, the last thing I want to look at now is prayer. How important is prayer? No man is safe for a day or an hour without prayer. You can pray anywhere. You can pray in the car. You can pray in a train, in a plane. You know, walking down the street, you can pray standing on your head. But the thing about it is, prayer is so important, because it's our connection with heaven. And some of the prayer meetings that we have in our churches are not being utilized. Because there is power in prayer. And I believe that here in most of them, I've said this to the other churches, If you have your prayer meeting and you study the last 10 chapters of the Great Controversy, God is going to work mightily. He's going to work mightily in this city. And I've said to the other churches, if you start a prayer meeting and study one chapter a week of the Great Controversy, the last 10 chapters, God will bless your church. And I'll tell you what happened in Ballarat. Now, before Christmas last year, I had a very strong conviction that I was to go to the church and do a 10-week program on the last 10 chapters of the Great Controversy. I prayed about it. I asked the Holy Spirit. And I said to the Lord, I said, okay, I'll go to the head of the personal ministries team and tell him that I've had this conviction from the Holy Spirit to do this program in our church. And I would like you to pray about it. And if it's unanimous, then come back and tell me. Then I'll know it's God's word will for me to do this. Okay? So they came back and said, yes, Neil, it's God's will for you to do this. However, one prominent member in that committee said, yes, we're happy to do it, but however, we're not to do it as reading this chapter. It's to be done as a lecture. He said, I want it done as a lecture, not as a reading. Now, the instruction for me was that it had to be done as a reading. The reason it has to be done as a reading, that it has to be read out loud, because every member who's there needs to read that a verse or a paragraph from that chapter. The reason is because it will be going to our minds, right? And this person said, no, we have to do it as a lecture. That's what I want. And I said, that's good. What does God want? What does God want? That's what we have to be very careful. That's where we have to spend time in prayer. What does God want? Not what I want. You know, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, Chapter 9, verse 6, what happened? Jesus blinded him and he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? We're not really converted in our Christian experience until we come to that point and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not, God, I'm going to do this for you. Bless me. You know, pray for this. You know, do this. Until we come to that point, we're not really converted. And if you look in the NIV version of the Bible, that's been left out. When he asked a question. Now, the other thing is we ran that program in Ballarat for 10 weeks, right? Now, the last week that we did it, there was a tremendous storm in Ballarat. And as we were doing it on the Sabbath afternoon, the last chapter of the Great Controversy, we could hardly hear ourselves reading. It was so loud. And then all of a sudden, the storm stopped. And then we finished it off. We had prayer, and we usually had prayer in groups because this is the way that the Holy Spirit had convicted me to do this. So we did it. We left the church. A couple of hours later, the storm started up again, and it blew the roof off the Ballarat church. I don't know if you know this or heard about this. There was $100,000 damage done to the church, right? And it took about 5 or 6 months to get the church back to where it was. Now, the interesting thing about this storm was the church was the only building damaged in that street. The houses next door around the church were not damaged. It was only the Adventist church that had the roof blown off, right? And we wondered why that happened. Wasn't Satan very happy about us studying the last 10 chapters of the Great Controversy? God allowed it to happen? Maybe something else. But I tell you, we are living in the last days. And the last events will be rapid ones. Yes. Yeah, it was only building that was damaged. So I'll just tell you, the insurance company paid $65,000 to have it repaired, and the rest of the church has to pay the other $35,000. Okay? And that's what we're doing. But what it's done is that the church has been repainted. It's got a new roof on it. It's got a new sound system in it. All the carpets have been replaced. The chairs have been cleaned up. And I believe that God, I don't know why, I don't think Satan was very happy, but God has turned this into a blessing because there will be people from the Ballarat area coming into the church. So Don't be surprised if something happens. If you start to study the great controversy and Satan comes along and starts, you know, doing things to you. Just a couple of things to finish off. The very last deception of Satan will be to make of none effect the testimony of the Spirit of God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Satan will work ingeniously in different ways and through different agencies to unsettle the confidence of God's remnant people in the true testimony. Now this is very important because the last deception will be to do away with the spirit of prophecy in the Adventist church. And it's happening. You know, about 5 or 6 years ago we had a pastor came to our church and said, oh, the spirit of prophecy written by Ellen White 125 years ago is no longer relevant to our day because we need a new way of reaching people, a new way of working out and coming to people. And I thought, that's interesting. If that's done away with 125 years ago, what about the Bible? It was written 2,000 years ago. So be noticed that if people are coming here, if I'm standing here or preaching here and say the spirit of prophecy is no longer relevant, start running. Start running because this is a fulfillment of prophecy. You know that the end is very, very clear. Is coming very quickly. So, just two other things. The Lutheran Church Reformation, this was in our local paper in Ballarat about 10 days ago. It talks about a major milestone marked. If you read this article, it's also, you won't be able to see it from there, but Hamilton gets a mention here. That the people who were going, celebrating the Reformation would be coming to Hamilton. They would have been here last week. But in that article, it doesn't say we're against it or for it or whatever. It's just acknowledging it. Right? And, you know, this is Pope Francis to travel to Sweden to joint Reformation commemoration, right? Well, this was written back in January. But you know from the 31st of October, just last week, he went to Lund in Sweden, and with the Lutheran members, they signed that document. Okay? So be aware, we've come here today, this is not my message, it's God's message. What you do with it is up to you as individuals. But believe it, we are living in the last days, the last events will be rapid ones, and they will happen very quickly. So, God's love, which you've got here, is bound up in the law and the testimony. Anybody who doesn't believe in the spirit of prophecy and the word of God, and they say they love Jesus, and don't have the spirit of prophecy or the word of God, they lie. Watch out for them. Okay? So this is the message that the Spirit has told us to come here today to do. So this afternoon at 2 o'clock, if you want to come back, we can do one of the chapters here. Now, I don't... Crystal, did you do that chapter? Yeah. And the chapter will be God's final warning, which we're coming up to right now. I think you were there too, Karen, weren't you? Yeah. So this is a very important chapter. And what we'll do is we'll give you a copy of The Great Controversy. We brought copies with us. We'll sit in a group and we'll read a paragraph each. And then we will discuss it and we'll get some of your experiences because you have your own experiences. Don't rely on other people or myself or John to, just go on our experiences. You have your own. And we're saved as individuals, right? Our own relationship with God because God loves us. God is love, right? Based on the law and the testimony. If it's not based on the law and the testimony, it's human love. It's not God's love. Okay? Thank you. Dear Father in heaven, dear wonderful Lord, again we thank you for the wonderful blessings you give to each one of us. We know we're living in the last days. You've raised us up for such a time as this. We have a choice, Lord. We need your power. We need your strength. We need forgiveness for our sin. We know that you love us, Lord, and you want us to be with you in your kingdom. So, Lord, give us the power to overcome. Give us the power to reach other people now before it's too late. Probation will close soon. We're right on the edge of a incredible, wonderful your coming soon. So, Lord, be with us in everywhere we go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.